Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, it could be. Maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
It's so lovely, he's so high. Like Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Aphrodite.
Cool. Hey, welcome to TWIM, everybody.
That was our sync up.
I think that's how we started.
I like that.
We don't have to sync up, Al, because
Hey-o.
Listeners, Al and I are in the same room.
This never happens.
Not even 6 feet away from each other.
I'm staring.
If
Jeff
I were to
right
lay
Al
baby
blues.
On his feet, his head would hit the place he's at with before reaching open.
That has
open
nothing
water.
To do with how close we are in proximity, and more to do with how much of a giant I am.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
We are less than 6'7" apart. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm trying to get at here is
that is my point,
Jeff. It's wonderful to be with you. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to pull this off. We're in the afternoon hour.
Welcome
on
to
a
Virginia.
Wednesday.
Welcome to Virginia, where apparently you had to spend all of your time on this business trip you came on.
I didn't know. I thought I was going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so I stayed in Baltimore. And then I get up this morning and I put in the directions. Guess what, Jeff?
Tell me.
Richmond, Virginia.
Different places, it turns out.
Yeah, and about an hour further. And I had to go through DC traffic to get there.
Yep. In the morning, no less.
Like a fool. Like a fool. I didn't know, because they set it up, and then they were like, oh, well, we have another plant down there. I'd like you to see that instead.
Oh,
pulls the old switcheroo on me. We got two plants. I was planning on one. Jacked. I got
okay,
jacked.
So it's not totally off like they messed up. You
no,
just
they,
didn't know there were
they
two
changed
plants.
It.
There were two plants. Okay.
Yeah, they changed it.
I thought on your end you guys just got confused about where you actually had to go. Completely.
You're such a map head, Jeff. You think you're the only one that gets little geography.
You were blaming people when I talked to you on the phone.
If I may again, if you ever tried to get to Kokomo, I would win.
You thought it was in southern Indiana.
It isn't.
It's in northern Indiana.
In Indiana.
It's north of Indianapolis. People have written us emails.
Way down to Kokomo? I don't think so.
The Beach Boys were
What are they sitting up in Ohio?
No, they're up in Battle Creek, Michigan. Duh.
That's fair.
That's where they're from. Everyone knows this.
How is I'm here with you in Virginia. Let me speak with command here. You are still doing the father thing.
Absolutely true.
I've seen the baby.
How have you felt? You have now held Matthias.
No, virtue went out of him. I could sense it when I touched him. And that was manifest in the poopiest blowout I've ever seen.
That was pretty exciting, right?
That was really ridiculous.
I think you put it better when you said that he recognized you as one of the betrayers from the pre-existence.
No, I'm sitting
he's just staring at you like what?
His eyes are so big, and I'm like, what if he's like, it's him, it's the dark painted man, like a Robin Hood Prince of Thieves moment where it's like, I've seen him in a vision, he's the betrayer.
Yeah. That's unique to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Which is on Netflix right now.
That's what's
so
in my... Is it really?
It is. It popped up the other day. I didn't watch it.
See, that's what's in my head, though, obviously.
But I saw it.
I feel... What if you're like, man, with kids, the veil is so thin. And like that kid gets to speak the unspeakable things. And he's like, you were one of the bad ones. And I'm like, oh no, I really tried hard. I thought I was doing okay.
I mean, he smiles at me, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah, no. Well,
but I don't know.
And me, I just got the big eyes. I got the big eyes and like a scared look.
Yeah, you have big eyes.
To be fair.
Your beady little eyes.
I'm a giant compared to you. I was probably the first person he's seen that's that much bigger than his father.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah. No, I'm a giant. That's my life.
Because he was just staring at you when you came in.
So I
couldn't take his eyes off you, like most men.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm growing a man bun slowly. That's why.
Is that still part of your plan?
Well,
because right now you're in that awkward transitional phase, like a 13-year-old boy.
No, yeah, I describe it as lesbian hair.
Okay.
You know, like it's
Katie Lang.
Yeah, it's like they cut it really short and then decided to go halfway back to long, and it's sitting right there. I don't know. Is that politically correct to say?
Not really, but I'm just going to
You can see it, though, right?
You can email Al at al@thisweekinmormons.com, but I would love to see what your hate for him, so contact at thisweekinmormons.com. I'll get it, too. So for okay. Al's politically incorrectness, I'm send it to him.
I'm excited to one day run for political office. They'll be like, excuse me, Al, would you like to tell me what lesbian hair looks like, you insensitive monster? And I'd be like, all right, let me show you a picture of that phase and just tell me if you don't agree.
Don't you wish our presidential debates were actually that hilarious? Or if they're like, hold up. I've got a picture right here on my phone. Let's take a look at this real quick. A lot more back and forth presentation style.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so boring. You weren't
ready for this text message I took a snapshot of, and he's like, "You son of a bee."
That's what Bernie's got percolating, man. He has something.
How was the Democrat?
Not as boring as it was probably going to be.
Why?
It was just more entertaining, and I don't know. I don't think this is like specific to the parties by nature, but I think it's the fact that there were only five Democrats on stage, so it didn't feel like such a zoo as the Republican debates.
How many Republicans are in there? Four, right?
The last debate, they allowed 11.
Woo.
Up there.
You can't get that much talking in.
And now a couple have dropped out. I mean, Rick Perry never made the main stage, but Scott Walker dropped out, and he was on the main stage. So 10 who were up there before still remain. Who knows? But it was civil, the Democratic debate. It was fine.
Did Bernie go crazy? I heard Not a lot really. About the Bernie rage.
Bernie went kind of crazy. He fumbled a bit on gun control, where he's actually not left of his party. It's a very strange relationship he has with the guns, so...
What is his relationship?
Well, he's more in favor of Second Amendment rights, but he favors, you know, background checks and regulation and stuff.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Whereas there are many Democrats who believe in, like, abolishing personal firearm ownership altogether. And since he
Savages.
Is, and he being such a hardcore Nordic socialist, you would think he'd be into that, but he's not.
Oh, good. Well, I like him a little more.
I know then. You're not going to vote for him.
Who am I going to vote for?
Well, especially Bernie. Bernie stands for everything. You, a proud capitalist. A Mitt Romney capitalist, I might say.
That's fair. Fiscally conservative.
You're going to wind up voting for Jeb Bush. The safe choice, the pro-business choice. Enjoy.
Hey, if he lowers my corporate taxes, I have to vote for him.
I think Donald Trump wants to lower your corporate taxes, too.
I donated my first political campaign the other day.
To Donald Trump?
No.
To Carly Fiorina?
I will not say.
Okay, fair enough. That is your right to not say.
But it was very exciting. Yeah, until the records are published. Isn't that a public record at some point?
At some point, yeah. Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah, so you'll find out soon.
You're going to be a kingmaker.
I really actually, yeah. Yeah, that's the idea.
The kingpin.
Jeff. No, you see, here's what I figured out. You donate to political parties so that you can get them on the phone and say hi to them and ask for ideas. It's a good idea.
Now that's called patronage.
Patronage? Is that illegal?
Not illegal, per se.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. I'm not.
It's what happens in this day and age. You know,
I'm not
like,
asking for favors. I'm asking for advice or ideas.
I'm asking for advice. Yeah. What would it take for this to happen?
No.
What would it take to have the tax base rate lowered specifically in Caldwell County? What would it take?
Well, no,
for
because
that?
Like there's some big strategy things that are available out there if you know where to look, and so that's a little what that was. So I was like, hey, I've been meaning to hang out with you. What do we say we talk some funding options sometime? I'd love to donate. Anyway, while you're here, tell me about what these things are. Pretty entertaining.
It's a world I don't pretend to understand, even though I live in D.C. and I should.
When you run to be a governor of some state, I expect you'll call me in to be your Sam. Maybe
you're going to be my speechwriter? You, of all people, are going to be my speechwriter?
No, I'd write the content. You'd have to edit it, which is what we do now. all our best stuff comes when I churn it out, and then you make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our
and best. Then I'm going to make last-minute edits on the fly when I'm up there speaking.
And I'll be like, don't do
it. And you'll be all upset
and
be like,
don't do it.
Mr. Governor.
I think with this next political run, we're due to rewatch The West Wing in its entirety.
Might be true. Maybe I'll start next year to build up towards November of 2016.
Oh, yeah. All right. We should publish a how many episodes to watch a week.
Okay. And should we also just write reviews of the episodes for no reason to see how it relates to Mormonism?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Draw parallels in each one. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Every random episode would be like this.
Be like in this one.
This reminds me of something I read in Helaman 7.
The Mormon undertones here. Alma returning.
When Zoe gets kidnapped, it's like the evil Lamanites who take the daughters and wives of the Nephites.
So how is your week? How have you been?
You know, it's been very busy over here.
You moved.
Yeah, that's why I moved. Stuff has been happening. My sister's in town visiting, which
I'm
has been
sitting
great.
In a new apartment that I've never seen before.
How do you like
with
it?
With a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Do you feel like everything's changing around you?
Yeah, no, I just want comfort.
And you're powerless to stop it?
Yeah.
I'll get you a chicken pot pie, okay?
Chicken pot,
make you feel
chicken
nice and sticky.
Pot pie.
Yeah, so a busy week. So busy weekend for us. We, moving has been the primary thing that has occupied our time. We also had some friends in town, though. You know old Joe, our old buddy Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know Joe. Joe,
he's done the show before.
Joe wanted to see you, but...
Where was he?
Well, Joe lives in Utah now, but they were out here on business. So
why is he not here at this moment?
I don't know. You'll have to call Joe. Ask him why he's not here.
I don't think I have his number. Maybe I do.
Facebook message him.
Okay.
Apparently people think
is
that's
Is he in D.C.?
Well, he's in Northern
Screw
Virginia.
Screw Joe. Why isn't he here?
Hey, watch your language.
That guy. I come all the way out here to see Joe.
Yeah.
And he stiffs me.
Anywho, we both had kids within a very short period of time of one another, so we were able to have
a
beautiful play date
of
myself, Joe, an old roommate, and another one of our old roommates. And all three of us had kids within a month. We brought them together. A meeting of the minds. It was like the Yalta conference. It was amazing.
It was exactly like
all of them coming together, mingling, and that was delightful. My sister's in town. We've moved. We're still getting settled in. It's been very busy, and now we're going home this coming weekend. We're going to go to California, and we're going to bless the baby there.
So it's
It's very
Jeff,
busy.
Jeff chose to do it on the one weekend out of the entire year that I can absolutely not rearrange.
I do feel bad about this.
Life
goes on.
We are splitting our steak this week.
Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned that last week.
It's going to be big. This is going to be a big deal. And it turns out this isn't confirmed. I'm anxious to see how all this goes because upon further investigation, all of the steak callings, so like we split a steak and all of the steak callings from in either steak would still exist. So if you were a steak young men's president,
true? There's a carryover
and you were
clause?
In the other one, yeah, you're there until you're released and somebody else is called. And so there's some structure that exists still.
I didn't know that. I thought they had to just kind of release everybody and recall
That's
everybody.
What I thought too.
Yeah.
And it may be down to certain levels. I know as a high councilman, they told me to plan on continuing to be there. I was very anticipating the release, like the idea. They're just like, all right, we're gonna scrap this. We screwed up. We're gonna redraft from the beginning. We're just gonna start over and draft
it
again.
It repenteth me that I have called.
But it makes sense because if you're trying to issue calls and stuff, you sort of need a couple banditos. To go after it.
It helps. It helps to have some carryover.
I didn't know this, though. This is the first time I've ever been a part of a steak splitting. So all of you veterans out there, good on you. Thanks for letting me know.
I have never been part of a steak splitting.
No.
So
I've never lived anywhere that was righteous enough to split.
I've lived where they've organized a steak, but just out of a district that was already there. So no.
Oh, yeah. That's money transition.
It's not a big deal there.
You already know.
Transitive property. It's very simple.
By the transitive property, I am still... Yeah, no.
And then a year later, you ask yourself how this became a steak, because I'm not going to name, this was in Spain, I will not name where.
España.
But yeah, you're kind of like, how did this place become a steak again? Did they botch the numbers? I actually heard, and there was one ward, I didn't serve in this ward, but this was a pretty verified story. This wasn't related to the steak fully, but this area wanted to get like a complete built chapel building, you know, like a nice one. So they weren't just renting some dumpy low level thing.
They stacked the numbers?
They stacked the numbers with elderly people from a home when they knew the general authorities or whoever were visiting that Sunday to make it seem like they were busting at the seams. And
no.
Needed. Yes.
That's genius.
This happens.
Hey, if you can get old people to go there, do it.
Well, they didn't stay. They didn't come anymore, but you know.
I do it every week.
You should do it this coming weekend and split the steak again.
How do they bribe these people? Is this with
I don't maybe they had dementia. They just told them to come along.
Yeah, do that every week. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Stack those numbers. And then take them from building to building to building.
So how long did it take your steak to split?
I have no idea. Like literally the rumor started about this 15 years ago.
Okay. So the goal now is to make this only 7 years till the next split.
I don't know. Is this an accomplishment, splitting a steak? I don't know.
It's usually a sign that all is well in Zion, that things are growing. That's,
nothing bad could happen.
No, bad things can happen.
No,
look what happened to the steak in Kyiv.
And I quote, "All is well in Zion, Jeff Openshaw."
Well, we already bought the tickets.
Well, we already bought the tickets.
Isn't it hilarious that you and I still go off on a 10-year-old Mike Birbiglia comedy special?
It was the best thing we'd ever seen
for
up to
inside
that point.
Jokes.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
We bonded over that, my friend. You had your junky Dell laptop, and we sat there and shared tunes.
It wasn't junky then. I'm picturing it in my mind.
This was back in the day when people brought iPods to friends' houses and loaded up on each other's songs. It was that.
Yeah, kind of, no, I remember
it
that.
It was that kind of an era.
We dumped like 60 gig of music, and then we had to go through, and you said, "You'll actually like this. You won't like this. You won't like this."
I did. And you probably then still only liked about 10% of what I thought you would like.
Yeah.
But then you got me. I didn't have enough space, so Al was letting me offload my memory sticks onto his computer while we were traveling, and then he was kind enough to burn them all to like DVDs and mail them to me. In the process, when I received them, there was also the collective works of Cake.
Oh, yeah.
The band. And I said, what kind of a joke is this?
It was amazing.
You think I'm going to import these into my iTunes collection? No, sir.
Cake being obviously the greatest band of all time. Undisputed.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
More so than the Michael
Absolutely.
McLean Players.
Absolutely.
We're just staring at each other.
It's absolutely the greatest band.
Isn't this
of all time.
Surreal?
There is nothing that could possibly
How many be shows have we done together in the same room? Like three, maybe? Yeah,
this may be the third.
Yeah, it hasn't
this
been.
This is momentous.
Haven't been that many. Sometimes it's even a little bit awkward. It's like we're off our rhythm. You're usually at your house eating some ice cream or munching on.
I know. Jeff has no food.
Sorry,
for
do
me.
I have chocolate milk?
No, that's not crunchy enough.
I don't have anything. Well, I've got yogurt covered pretzels.
Do you have any raisins? They are nature's candy.
No, we have some prunes, though.
They are literally.
Do you want some prunes?
Do you really have prunes?
Yeah.
That's gross. Why would you have those?
My mom was out here and bought a bunch and had us hold on to them because they were so heavy, and she'll be back.
What? You're playing the mule for your mother's prune addiction?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's gross.
It's a big, heavy bag, like Costco bag. She didn't want
to Doesn't make it right, Jeff.
It
does not make
it
I'm
right. I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Okay.
Mormon stuffs.
Well, let's get into.
By the way, thank you all of you who joined us for General Conference Mormon talk last week. That was fun. I always enjoy that.
Yeah, that actually was a good time. We went a little long, but it felt right. You know, when it feels right, you just got to do it.
You know, sometimes you tell yourself, I have a curfew. I signed an honor code.
I think Spencer W. Kimball said that. When it feels good, sometimes you just
got to. You
got to
follow that feeling.
Yeah.
When you're out shooting craps in Vegas and realize it's fun, you got to follow that feeling.
Yeah. Don't stop. Do what feels good.
Never stop. We officially encourage gambling.
That's
no, it's
neither
not,
the
not,
view of the, either these hosts or this show.
Fine, it's my view.
It's express written consent.
I've gambled once in my life.
Have you really?
When I turned 18, I went and bought a lotto.
That was your gambling?
Yep.
Did you win?
I won $20.
Oh, no way.
That was it.
So you got a record that stands still.
That was
day.
It. I just
100%
said. 100% win. I had no intention. I said, I'm turning 18. I'm just going to go do this one time, and that's going to be the end of it, which is not, in a religious context, a good attitude to have. I'm just going to go do this one time so I can experience
No, I can think of a number of things that applies to that are bad.
Much
idea.
Worse that we don't even need to utter on this show. But, yeah, so I'm not saying I was the wisest young man, but I felt like with something like gambling, I was not concerned about becoming an addict. Of course, who's ever concerned about becoming an addict?
Not me. I could stop at any time.
Fair point. Sure.
Anytime, Jeff.
Al, give us a story. Pick and choose.
All right, well, we're kind of going along with the stuff, the conference stuff from last week. I'm curious, why was the new presiding bishop not announced at state conference?
I do not know why they didn't do it at General. And also, you know, they reorganized the presidency of the 70. I think we talked about that last week. I don't know why they didn't do this during conference. I thought it would be a conference-y item to do, but
they had to know it was coming. Or maybe they hadn't extended the calls yet.
I mean, Elder Stevenson came out of the presiding bishopric before, and maybe they were focused on taking care of that and figured, like, let's not stress out about trying to fill the other vacancies.
I wonder if you call, like, when you call somebody and you're like, we'd like you to be the presiding bishop. And he's like, but there already is a presiding bishop.
And said, oh, I know.
Wait a minute.
What's going on?
And maybe they just don't want anybody to be leaking the news.
That could also actually be part of it, for all we know. That's a fair point. I wonder if
they do a really good job of keeping the lid on that stuff. You know, for all the curious out there, you would think that there would be somebody leaking something.
Well, because like Bishop Stevenson, who was the presiding Elder Stevenson, who was the presiding bishop. I mean, yeah. Do you think he was even allowed to tell his counselors, like, hey, by the by, I'm saying,
are they blindsided?
I think they might be.
Boom.
Yeah. So as Al was saying, Bishop Gerald Calce, who was the first counselor in the presiding bishopric and picked by many to be one of the new apostles.
Yeah, he was in the running.
That one surprised us, right? No one pegged Stevenson, his superior. Everyone said...
Wait, so he was already serving in the presidency?
He was the first counselor. So what they did here was a nice shuffle where first counselor became presiding bishop, second counselor became first, and they called a new second counselor, which is W. Christopher Waddell, who was in the 70 and incidentally once the mission president of the Spain-Barcelona mission, everyone, the Lord's mission. He also served his mission in the Spain-Barcelona mission.
All right. Well, that's just unimaginable.
And he was once my wife's stake president. So lots of ties here. So...
I'm starting to feel eerie.
Well, I'm just, and he's a very tall man. He could give you a run for your money.
Whatever.
You could stand nose to nose.
Good.
Potentially.
I will.
So now Bishop Causse is the presiding bishop, everybody. A Frenchman, I assume for the first time ever, is in charge of
what's,
the church's
so what's interesting
affair.
About that specific decision is a lot of the presiding bishop, Rick, duties are business related.
Well, it's all the presiding bishopric takes care of the temporal needs of the church.
Well, there's a lot yeah. of the business relations. You know, if you think of when you've seen the presiding bishopric in the news in the past, it's been with like legal matters or
sure.
real estate deals gone yes. awry or whatever it is, right? And so now we got a Frenchman in there, not necessarily an expert on American real estate law.
I'm sure he knows nothing.
Methinks.
But this would depend on the real estate. If it's church use stuff, that would fall under them. If you're talking things like City Creek or the other things we're developing, that falls under Deseret Holdings, which is a different...
No, it's also presided over by the bishopric, though.
That's true. I'm sure they actually answered to them.
Booyah.
At some level. But then yeah, they got the for-profit.
So it's curious. I mean, like if you were Canadian and had to know the tax code here, that would be a big jump, a big learning curve. It's curious that they would you know, choose a Frenchman in that capacity.
I wonder if he has obtained U.S. citizenship. What, President Uchtdorf, for example, remained still a German citizen. I think he can have dual. But he was just a German citizen all through his time in the 70 and the 12. And it wasn't until they called him to the first presidency that they actually kind of told him he needed to go out and obtain U.S. citizenship at the same time, which is interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, he has served in the bishopric for a while, so he's probably fine. He's probably got this.
He might have. I think the presiding bishop has a very interesting charge. All the temporal and welfare needs of the church go through him. If you're dealing with even trying to get a new meeting house.
I'm not, no.
But that stuff eventually goes. You might at some point. You have a new stake on your way.
Oh,
they might want a new building.
We need a stake center.
They might want a brand new building.
Booyah. Stake center.
Now you have to deal.
Here's the brooding question. Will they build a stake center at Far West? Oh, amidst the fields?
There's nothing like next to the temple site?
Yeah, there's nothing out there.
That would be fun, right?
That would be rad.
Next to the temple site.
With a
cool.
basketball hoop? Finally.
Do you not have a basketball court?
No, we have like the little three-quarter ones. I want a full-size gymnasium. Is that too much to ask? I don't feel like that's
Why don't none of your buildings have a regular gym?
No, in that entire stake, none of them do.
What's up with that?
I know.
Well, I think you as a member of the High Council should write a letter.
A strongly worded letter. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's exciting, Bishop Causse.
Well done.
Welcome, sir.
Speaking of which, you want to go right? I just
feel I don't know where you're going on this one.
The history of the French Book of Mormon, Jeff.
Fair enough.
I mean, you can't say Causse and then loop back to the French Book of Mormon later.
Well, as it happens, the Book of Mormon was once translated into French.
I believe that's true.
I'm going to wait for Al to do this one because I know he hasn't read the story.
I haven't. I was, dude, I'm bump set. This is what it's called, bump set.
Am I spiking it right now?
You got to spike it down.
I don't know if I'm going to spike this one. Might get spiked out of bounds, but I'm not that good at volleyball. My wife is, though. So basically, it's been 163 years since the Book of Mormon was first published in French. It's one of the older translations of the Book of Mormon, which is great. It was the product of an 18-month translation process, but they dealt with a lot of political roadblocks from the French government.
How are politics stopping you from translating something?
Because in June of 1850, when the Book of Mormon hadn't been published in any other language, okay, the French government was more hostile to stuff like this. They didn't really allow... It was a different time. I mean,
The French government can't control what we translate things into.
Not now, but back then it was
different.
No, not
then either. If I wanted to translate something into German, I just translate it. There's not a German government I have to get approval from before I can speak German.
Not now, but it was a different era back in the mid-19th
Even back
century.
Then, no.
You have to remember that America stands for freedom.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. And so we've been enjoying it for a longer period of time.
Naturally.
Other places, not so much.
Wait, they were trying to translate the Book of Mormon in France to French?
Yeah, this started because President, then Elder John Taylor, was called to be the mission president of France.
Yo, boy.
Took with him some other elders and did this and that. And they asked Elder Curtis.
Took a few other elders.
They asked Curtis, and they did E. Bolton to head up the translation because apparently he actually knew French.
Instead of Bertrand.
Mm-hmm. And then two of their earliest converts, when they arrived in France, helped join the translation process. Pretty cool, right? So one was named Mr. Wilhelm, and the other was Louis A. Bertrand, amazing. The political editor of Le Populaire, the largest communist paper in France.
I believe it's pronounced Bertrand.
So the editor of the largest communist paper in France helped out with the translation of the Book of Mormon.
And his name was Bernie Sanders? Is that what you're
yep,
saying?
Exactly. Burn on this. Feel the burn. So apparently, though, there was a lot of scrutiny from the French government, especially because any independent social, political, or religious movement was considered treasonous. And if you've seen Les Mis, you can understand that feeling.
Look down, they say. Look down.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't look them in the eye.
So they completed it in 1852. And
did they release it as in Les Mis by throwing flyers through the air of the Book of Mormon?
No, my understanding was they would hold contests to see if you could steal bread from a priest, and if you did, they would give you a copy.
Because they were anti-priests. This was the anti-priestly establishment. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
the that was actually the name of the church in France.
The anti-priestly establishment.
Subtitle: yeah. Avignon is burning.
Okay.
That was the name. Well, good. So, speaking of other church items, this guy in basically up in Philadelphia, as you know, they're building a temple in Philadelphia.
I know that.
Which would fall under the presiding bishopric. See, this is all
taking
related.
Forever.
It's been okay. No, it hasn't been too bad. It's
literally.
It will likely get dedicated next year, I would guess.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is good. It's an okay time. This isn't the Rome temple where it just languishes and sits there for a long time for no reason.
Am I mistaken? I think the Philadelphia Temple was announced the exact same time as Rome Temple.
I don't know if they were announced the same time. What you're not mistaken in is the Philadelphia Temple was announced, and then they did a groundbreaking, but it was a ceremonial symbolic one, after which
they were
took
announced
place.
The exact same time.
Were they?
And the Rome Temple will be finished before the Philadelphia Temple.
Will it?
It certainly will.
Now you're making me look this stuff up. And I just don't like looking up while I'm talking because of the thing.
Because okay. I'm more right. Yes. What did you find, Jeff?
I'm looking it up. I'm going to tell you in a second. We don't want to go to the actual church's website. It's not as informative. Okay. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Temple was announced in the October 2008 General Conference. Ooh. And Rome was also announced in October 2008.
If I may, Jeff. Booyah.
Well done.
Yeah, so announced same time. Which temple will be done first?
I actually think Philly will be done before Rome.
How?
Because
have you looked at the progress?
Yeah.
Okay. I disagree.
I think so. I mean, let's see where we're at. I mean,
I will promise you Rome will be done first.
Okay.
You have my commitment.
Hold on. I'm looking at both of construction photographs. Oh, they are almost at parity with one another.
Neck and neck, you think?
Both
yes?
Working on the spires, it seems, and external stuff. We'll see. The Rome ones had a lot of problems. I don't know.
So is Philly. That's what
so,
I'm saying.
The point of the whole Philly thing is that a man named Mark Postel, somehow ironic.
El Postal.
Il Postino. Intercepted a check made out to the church by PECO. PECO is the Pennsylvania it's the energy company for the Philadelphia.
If we made PECO.
It's probably PECO. I don't know. So anyway, it's a check for almost $184,000 that was made out to the church because PECO overbilled the new temple site for power and was issuing a refund. That's a substantial refund.
So he just knocks over their mailbox and grabs an envelope.
Somehow he was just cruising through Logan Square with a baseball bat and just taking this down.
This is not hard.
I guess.
Okay.
And the temple is in an inconspicuous location. It's pretty, you know, there. Yeah. I don't know where one goes to intercept temple
mail. So he got
some
mail fraud, so he's got a check now for $184,000.
So then he heads over to North Philadelphia. I like that's not even a bank. He goes to a check cashing operation, like payday loans or something.
No
probably.
Way.
So he goes up there on Broad Street and said he was a Mormon pastor.
That doesn't exist.
He showed a fake ID that listed the temple's address as his home and then deposited the check. The fact that he had a fake ID with the temple's address tells me he did some research here. He figured this out.
Wait, so he deposits the check or did he cash it in 10?
He deposited the check. And then the check cleared. He returned to collect the money, and then I think they grabbed him. And he faces up to 20 years in prison, a $250,000 fine. Oh, and a $100 special assessment.
So well, yeah.
That extra $100.
That's for the processing fee from the check, check into cash.
Those are the court fees.
Check
into
cash. Yeah.
So hopefully all is well, of course. I'm sure the funds have been sorted out. How'd this guy pull this off, though?
Well, it wouldn't be hard. I mean, there's checks mailed every day. You just go bank some.
But where do you go find checks that are made out to a temple construction or temple site?
I don't think that was deliberate. You find them in any mailbox.
But I feel like it had to be deliberate because he had a fake ID that said the temple was his address. So he had it all clearly.
Jeff, riddle me this. If you found a check for $184,000.
Yes.
I think you would then go and make the fake ID.
Maybe, but they say he did this all on the same day. That's what I'm saying.
No, there's no reason to suspect he did it all on the same day. I don't think that's what they said.
Okay. Fair enough. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I'm absolutely right, Jeff. I'm always right. So far today, I'm 2-0.
Yeah, well, guess what? Because the Royals are going to fall 3-2
tonight. I hope
they
don't. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
it's going to happen. So, Mark Postel, if you want to be on the show sometime... be happy to talk about your case.
Yeah. Well, us too. Let me see here. Oh, I got one. I got one that I really like here. You're going to love this one, Jeff.
Take me there.
So, what's her name? Ashley Sargent. Is that the right name? Sargent. What's her first name?
Ashley.
Ashley Sargent.
Yes.
So, this woman has started a...
she might be your wife.
Probably not, but maybe.
All right.
That's how I answer all of those assertions. Probably not, but maybe. So she has started a little site to help people that missionaries that have returned early. She herself returned early from her mission. I guess I should specify. Returned early could mean many things. Not returned early from the store. Returned early from a mission, and there remains that stigma around
a little bit. Yeah, it's there. It's real.
There definitely is one. There definitely is one. And, I mean, it's a stigma. Our society is funny because the stigma is there for, you know, if you get married too early, if you get married too late, if you don't have kids, if you, you know, whenever you do something that we decide is out of the ordinary. And it's funny because out of the ordinary is interesting because I think a lot of people are just, you know, it's like genuinely aimless people making dumb comments where they're like, I don't know what to say to you. Let me open up some generic chit-chat. So came home early, huh? Or so when you gonna have some kids, eh? It's like, I can't have kids. I'm barren. Why have you ruined my day? No. So anyway, so people come home early from missions for a myriad of reasons. And there is a stigma there where people sort of expect.
Well, and it's not fair.
And there's a lot of tradition that goes around serving a mission and all that. And so this woman has started a website to try and help that, sharing some of her own experiences to do that. So we say, good on you,
Ashley
Sargent.
She even has a whole video series. Her YouTube videos have not gotten a lot of play yet, even though KSL picked up the story. But so far, it's not translating into many views. Well, her most recent video does have about 4 times as many views as the
one. How many?
Before. 369.
Yo, boy.
To put that in perspective, we get more views than that for publishing Sunday School Bonanza episodes in audio-only form on YouTube. No, there's no visual appeal whatsoever, but the old people love it.
So
they really do. That's why we publish it there. There's a lot of people who don't want to use apps, but they know how to use YouTube.
If I may poke a little bit of fun, there are 7 ideas for missionaries who have returned early, gift ideas. The number one gift you could get a missionary that has returned early is balloons.
That's the number one gift.
Number two,
like welcome
is
home.
Welcome Home, a survival guide that she published, obviously.
Well, of course.
Number three, get them a customized dog tag. They sound awful. Number four, a thank you card. Number five, plant or flowers. Number six, a framed photo of the Savior. And number seven, the Life of Jesus Christ Bible videos.
So far, I feel like number 6 and 7 should be higher up on
number
the list.
Number 8, Cinderella on DVD.
No.
She says, I'm literally obsessed with the new Cinderella movie featuring Lily James. I saw it in theaters 7 times. Number 9, You Are Special, the book about the wooden puppet. And number 10, the doTERRA Emotional Aromatherapy Kit.
It does not say that.
Available beginning 10/1/2015.
No!
Jeff, this makes me question everything else she's trying to do.
Oh, this is, it actually makes me very, this is terrible. Is she having, is she in cahoots with doTERRA? Is this all, you know, back-end deals where she's getting?
She says, get them a plant, get them my book that I wrote, get them some personalized dog tags and the doTERRA aromatherapy.
Oh, that frustrates me so much.
And you can get it from her doTERRA account.
Oh, so in
the
end,
she is currently a doTERRA independent wellness advocate, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
And in the end, we've gotten to the bottom of this.
Well,
this is all another way of getting a pink car or whatever they give. That's Mary Kay. I figure it's all the same thing.
This disgusts me.
This actually, this is upsetting. I feel like now the whole thing is a front to sell doTERRA.
It is. It absolutely is.
Oh.
How dare you masquerade as one helping?
Is there a link to the Cinderella movie? Does she have an Amazon affiliate account? Is that what that one's all about?
I'm looking now. It's on DVD.
See, she didn't list doTERRA too high. That way she figured, you know, you'd think it's all this good stuff. Like balloons, innocuous. And then you get addicted to giving missionaries things. And then she's like, hey, by the way, have you seen my $300 set of essential oils? They're going to change your life. Not FDA approved and no proven medicinal qualities. Enjoy.
Oh, my gosh. Sickening. Sickening.
I was feeling so supportive, Ashley Sargent. I was proud of you for doing something worthwhile, but now
you
it's like...
You fraud.
I wonder if anyone on KSL has found the doTERRA link. No one has in the comments.
Jeff, we have to
Bring her to justice.
Yeah.
Justice for the sergeant.
Definitely.
Sergeant Slaughter.
So anyway, that was fun. That was actually surprisingly entertaining.
That was an exciting bit of investigative reporting we just did there.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot.
Should we email her and try to get a comment about the doTERRA situation?
Yeah. No, we we absolutely should.
I represent a group of...
We should invite her and McKay Coppins on the show to defend themselves.
What does McKay...
This is like Hardball with Jeff and Al.
Of what does McKay need to defend himself?
Every article he wrote 5 years ago, obviously.
That's our master plan if we ever get McKay on the show. Be like, so you wrote an article once about green jello.
It'll be like... Well, he actually did. It'll be like when we had Tanner Christensen on. And just talked about his band, his failed band from years before.
Tanner was great. I loved having Tanner as a guest. He was funny.
Yeah, I like that guy.
He was a good guest. Project Molly.
Prospect Molly.
Prospect Molly.
Yeah.
That was the dream. Speaking of McKay, though, by the way, great article coming out of BuzzFeed News this week. McKay, as many of you know, he follows the political beats, especially Mormon stuff. He's also going to have a book coming out. Because he's followed Donald Trump around a lot over the years. Donald Trump like hates McKay Coppins, so it's really amusing.
Oh,
there are a number of very amusing anecdotes about between the two of them.
They tweet back and forth about something.
Yeah,
or he said like McKay Coppins is a slime ball or something like that.
He called him a ninny.
No, because he claimed that McKay Coppins was ogling his wife, right?
All kinds of goofy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And now I know McKay, I think, has like been publishing. He's published whole books about it. So he wrote an article here, though, about all the top Republican candidates, not Trump, though, kind of some of the other big ones, working to win over Mitt Romney's army in Nevada. And this is an interesting piece. Good long form read if you're into it, because, of course, Nevada is about 5% LDS. Not huge, bigger than most states, but not huge. But in the last presidential campaign, in the Nevada caucus, 25% of the participants were Mormons. So Mormons had a lot of sway. There's something to be said, of course, for, the Mitt Romney factor, the appeal of electing one's own, all that, of course.
The Mormon moment.
Could have increased participation. Yeah. But even so, you know, Mormons in general, I think we pride ourselves on trying to be civic-minded and being involved.
And
in
we vote,
sort of
yeah.
So this is all about, namely, Marco Rubio's, Rand Paul's, Jeb Bush's attempts to cash in on the vast Mormon network in Nevada. Because when Mitt Romney was organized there, I don't know if they tapped into ward rosters or not, but the point is the Mitt Romney campaign did like the unprecedented work of getting basically like every Mormon, so many Mormons in Nevada and knowing all of their information to exploit for political purposes. Which, even if they did in a fair way, that's fine, but the point is all that info is there. It's like vast, valuable market research that now all the other campaigns want to in this cycle. They want to get in with all the Mormons. They want to find all of them. They want to appeal to the Mormons. And a lot of the old Mitt Romney campaign staffers have gone off and worked for different candidates, too. They're not all united around one of them.
Right. I was surprised by that. I thought everybody would have some sort of a loyalty.
You think they might just kind of go for Jeb because he's kind of the most.
But there's no. They'll go to whoever will hire them. Also, apparently, they want to make money.
Also a fair point. And of course, you know, so, and then we deal with everyone's different approach. Rubio, of course, we know Marco Rubio is still technically Mormon. His records are still on the church, as far as we know.
Are they?
According to this report, as of 2012, he's never had his records requested to be removed.
Neat.
So he's still there. Love this quote, though, from Rand Paul, which I totally missed. Somehow we missed this at some point in time. Shame on us. Where Rand Paul quoted Doctrine and Covenants in a Time magazine op-ed, where he said the Constitution was written by wise men who were raised up by God for that very purpose. And Doctrine and Covenants 101 verse 80 says, you know, the Constitution by the hands of wise men whom I raised up unto this purpose. And people asked him if that was just a coincidence or if it was intentional. He says, oh, no, that was intentional. And all of this is to actually make Mormons comfortable with electing Rand Paul. Very interesting tactics.
What is Rand Paul's religious affiliation?
Is he a Baptist, I want to say?
But he's down with the Mormon.
He could be. And then McKay suggests that there's somewhat of a harder sell, though, for some Mormons because, namely, Rand Paul, you know, he's libertarian's good, but he's also in favor drug legalization, which he is not officially in favor of. But Mormons are much more very anti.
I don't
anti-
mind drug legalization.
Yeah. But a lot of Mormons are very anti-drug legalization.
Are we supposed to... Excuse me. Are we supposed to oppose drug legalization?
I think that's a personal choice.
But like as a religion, are we supposed to? Should I feel guilty for not?
Nope. You are supposed to not take drugs and fight against people taking drugs. But I don't think there's any statement on what you should do on a civic level.
We are supposed to fight against other people taking
drugs? Well, we still want to stand up for righteousness, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to get in people's face if they are involved, if they want to smoke their weed.
In favor of prohibition?
Good question. I wish we had Russell Stevenson here right now to tell us about the church's history with prohibition.
Because the data or the science suggests that the once prohibition went away, drinking went down, right?
Maybe, yeah, some would say.
Or like the black market of
Well, of course. Well, then the black market dries up. Like if you were to legalize drugs, there would be no black market for anything because it would just be regulated.
And so from a social standpoint, perhaps you could say we should legalize drugs in order to offer more reasonable treatment therapies and like address it in a more meaningful way instead
perhaps.
Of pretending like it doesn't exist.
You could perhaps. And then, lastly, of course, Jeb appeals to the Mormons as well. But his immigration thing appeals to a lot of Mormons, especially many who've served missions in Latin America. But Jeb also supports Common Core. And according to another strategist, former Romney advisor, said that Common Core is going to beat the crap out of him. Because if you take Mormons are so adamant about parents being able to control their kids' upbringing and education, and Common Core takes that away, presumably.
Yeah, Common Core is interesting. I know a lot of people that are very, very against Common Core, but there's not a lot out there. You hear horror stories of different schools practicing it and stuff. And so you've got all that extreme on one end, but there's not a lot of like, oh, no, here's what we're trying to do, and people are interpreting it this way.
And if you want to talk about one last extreme, another Romney advisor says the one unified thing they have is that when Mike Huckabee announced his candidacy, he got floods of emails with people saying, I don't care what happens, but we have to make sure Mike Huckabee does not win Nevada. Because Mike Huckabee has said some goofy, anti-Mormonish things in the past. You know, he's,
Well, and I think there's a little bit of resentment because of how he sort of double-crossed Romney back in the day.
Well, back in the 2008 campaign? Yeah.
Yeah, that was shady how he handled all that.
Yeah, so I guess there's a very, very large anti-Huckabee movement in Nevada.
As there should be. I feel like that's fair.
Well, yeah, but of course he wants to tax the hookers. If you remember from the first debate.
Does he?
Well, he wants a prostitute tax or something like that.
No way.
Huckabee's an interesting fellow.
There you go.
Who knew?
Well, that's
good. Good read, though. Check it out on our site. We'll link to it. It's interesting.
That is really neat. That was sent to us by the very nice Hans Hassel.
That name means nothing to me.
He's a great political science professor, buddy of mine, and we will have him on the show soon. Look forward to it, Jeff.
Sounds great.
Let's see. This is an interesting bit of discussion. There is the daughter of one of the sister wives. The sister wives from I believe from the ABC show.
No, TLC, isn't it?
TLC. That's right.
Yeah.
So one of the daughters has decided that she wants to get baptized into the Mormon Church. Great news.
That sounds great.
There's a problem. There is a question in the baptismal interview that asks if you affiliate with any apostate groups. And she, by nature of being a participant in her family, does participate in an apostate group. Which begs the question, Jeff, if your family, let's say your family is going off the deep end. They are forming their own apostate group. They are doing the wrong thing. Is there an expectation church-wise that you do not affiliate with them at that point, or are you still allowed to be buddies there or participate?
I don't know, man. Like, where's the line on that kind of thing? Like, how many of us have siblings who have left the church or might even be against the church?
But that's not an apostate organization.
That's true.
Let's say they went and joined an apostate organization. Then I think that's where that gets hairy.
But what apostate organization are you talking about here? These are polygamist people that are engaged in that sort of relationship, but is there a club? Is there a movement for polygamy, or just that's their relationship?
Because that religion is a branch, an apostate branch of Mormonism.
That's fair. I guess what I'm saying is just, you know, work with me here. Just, you know, in theory, if polygamy on that same level is considered, we don't believe in polygamy. We believe it's wrong. It's a sin to be in a polygamous relationship, all that stuff. But likewise, don't we believe it's a sin to cohabitate with someone if you're not married, even if it is a strictly monogamous relationship. Yeah. I mean, is that what I'm saying? Are we ranking the level of sin here? If neither is part of any kind of an active civic movement
I don't think it's a sin.
What if you're
so
a member
much.
of the church of cohabitation, right?
Yeah, I actually
say that's that. If you're friends with that person, is that an apostate?
Even in this case, if her family was in a polygamous relationship and not a member of an apostate church, I would expect that would be a different.
Do you think so? Because I think they would still shut it down.
Would it?
That's my guess. But also, why would you be in a polygamous thing if you were not a believing member of a polygamous Mormon
for
sect?
For the gratuitous sex, Jeff.
Is that what it is?
That is why.
Okay.
That is absolutely why. But that is an interesting question, and it's interesting just because I've never thought of this, right? Like the idea of a child saying, oh, yeah. No, I was raised with this my whole life. This is obviously not the
Yeah, she's, I mean, she's,
truth.
She's, she understands what.
I see the true church over here. I'd like to be a part of it. I want to choose this for my life. I also have this family that I love dearly. What do I do?
And I can't help, I know this is taking it a bit far, but I can't help but think of the Articles of Faith. Like, we believe we'll be punished for our own sins and not for Adam's transgression in that same sense. And she's saying that, like, why am I being punished for my parents' decisions?
Yeah.
But it is different, I guess, if she does not come out and condemn polygamy. Is she condemning it in that sense? I don't know every detail.
Is it a Michael Scott expectation? I condemn polygamy.
Yeah. Maybe exactly that. That's so weird. I don't know where that line should be. And this is a local leadership decision. This isn't like something from Salt Lake. But man, because she just says she won't disassociate herself from her very public family. Will she still be on the show? I don't know. Don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know.
Let us know how you feel about it, everybody. In other quick news, we've mentioned this before, but it's gone around in the news. So BYU, they were having a professor of sociology backed out of a speaking engagement at BYU's Law and Religious Symposium. This was Dr. Mark Juergensmeyer, director of the Orfalea Center for Global and International Studies at UC Santa Barbara.
Juergensmeyer.
So he was going to speak at BYU, then backed out because he said, you know what? BYU doesn't actually support religious freedom, so I can't in good conscience speak at your university.
He's speaking, of course, of the rule they have that you can join the Mormon Church there and still be within the ranks of honor code, but you cannot leave the Mormon Church and still be within the ranks,
even if you still live honor code rules.
It's you cannot change religion there, which naturally you don't have many people trying to do, but the mere fact that that's prohibited is is a bit of a, I don't know. I think that's kind of goofy and that should not be the case.
Well, I guess the main thing, according to a BYU statement, it says, because of covenants and commitments members of the LDS Church have made, they can no longer remain in good honor code standing if they chose to formally disaffiliate from the LDS Church.
How? How is that true? Well, I mean, obviously, like, we understand that, you know, when you get baptized, you make covenants, and you make covenants that last a long time. These are eternal covenants. But that's so far as our understanding and our respecting of those covenants go.
Yeah.
If I did not believe them to be valid, I don't know. That's actually an interesting train of thought.
So that's one thing to consider. But either way, and that's the one area where I think we can investigate this and come to understand if it's a difference between anyone else who's just not Mormon who's living there, because apparently they have not made covenants. You know,
I wonder why, like, why make it a thing even though, like, why not let them eat cake?
Probably to dissuade people from leaving the faith. I guess they figured, you know, if they ride it out, they'll just be okay later on.
I think that's really the case.
You're probably right. I'm trying to see if I can find an official honor code statement about what. So all it says is, let's see. If, to be honest, live a chaste and virtuous life, obey the law and all campus policies, use clean language, respect others, abstain from word of wisdom, abuses.
Give proper respect to women, girls, and children.
It doesn't say that. Oh, that might be. Participate in regularly in church services.
Be trustworthy, loyal, helpful.
Observe the dress
courteous.
And grooming standards and encourage others to commit to be with
kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
So I admit I have a hard time finding here where this could apply to, because it's just like, okay, attend church regularly. But if you say you want to join another church, it's no different than the Muslims who attend BYU who go to mosque.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I have a hard time with this. I don't. There might be parts of it I don't understand. I welcome your comments. If you email us or go to our Facebook page, whatever, because it doesn't sit quite right with me. I think it seems weird.
Well, I would expect that's something that changes in the near future. Let's see. There's kind of a cool one here. A little story was posted. You remember, Jeff, when we were talking about last week that we shared the extra, that person wrote an article about President Monson and how they saw President Uchtdorf up there poised, ready to help him.
Yes.
There's kind of a, this file this under faith promoting stories that we do not verify, but happily spread.
Mormon lore, right?
Mormon
here.
Lore, right.
Yeah.
But there is a, there's an account of a child there that was drawing a picture of the prophet in this time. So the prophet's up there, he's struggling through it, but they're drawing a depiction of what they're seeing. And they draw on there two angels.
Curious.
Next to President Monson. They asked him about it, and he said, oh yeah, the guy's dressed in white. It's what, I don't know, it's just kind of a nice little story. But if you need a good cheer up, go give it a read.
I like it, and I think it's so easy to be cynical about these things, but I don't rule these things out. I mean, we believe in angels and the ministering of angels and all these sorts of things.
Yeah, no, well, it's true.
And there's no reason to assume.
If Guy Mathis is any indication, I mean, when he saw me,
exactly,
their Dark Lord, he knew.
Voldemort
was here.
Voldemort. Okay, a couple quick ones here. I love that the Tabernacle Choir apparently sang the U of U fight song. I don't know if that was just to like...
I'm a Utah man and sparkly and true.
I'm a Utah man. What are you?
What are you? Yeah. Let's see.
That happened.
And then there's one other... Oh, boy. All right.
Take me there.
Here's one that just sickens me to the core. How dare they? How dare they? How dare they?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, what I'm speaking about is the church has recently organized a district... Is that right?
A district, yes.
In the Crimea region of Ukraine.
Okay. And there's been a district there before, back in 2004 to 2007. They had a Sevastopol district, and then they dissolved it.
Sevastopol, yeah.
Sevastopol.
So they organized this down there. But as we know, Russia has invaded Ukraine of late.
Yeah, we're not going to try to be like objective about that. Well, we are being objective about this. Russia invaded Ukraine.
No, they actually did, and they're still on their borders, and it is travesty. So the church organizes this district, but it's the Simferopol Russia district instead of the Simferopol Ukraine district. What the crap?
That's about the best thing I can say about that. This is very interesting, and they've made this part of the Rostov mission, which is if Rostov is over in
yeah, so they give it to a Russian
east of,
mission
east of the Ukrainian border, big city.
Certainly not Southern Russia. They well, so the Crimea is supposed to be an autonomous
under Ukraine, Crimea was the Autonomous Republic of Crimea, but yeah. It was still part of Ukraine, functioned as part of Ukraine, right. It was part of Ukrainian missions. I don't know if by the time there were four missions, I don't know if it was under Dnipropetrovsk or the Kyiv mission. I'm not sure.
No, in 2004 to 2007.
Whenever Crimea was still, you know, control wise part of Ukraine. I don't know where it fell under as far as missionaries being there, but this is very interesting because, is this the church sort of just saying, like, we recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea?
Is what it is.
Is this the church just playing ball so they can have missionaries in Crimea and say, like, you know, who cares about the politics? The most important thing is the gospel and that we get
is
people
it?
There.
Since when are politics more important than
principle? Yeah. No. I'm as offended as you are because I think it's very weird. But I guess the church also doesn't want to just get into it. Who knows? For all we know, if the church says we refuse to recognize Russia stuff in Crimea, Russia says, great, you can't have missionaries anywhere now.
I would rather deprive that entire country of the gospel, the saving principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, than give them Crimea. How dare they?
Crimea.
How dare they?
I'm with you on that one, man. I think it's I'm actually going to look into this one and see if I can get a statement from any from the missionary department. It's messed up.
It's dirty.
It's very dirty.
Well, And who's what?
Like, especially because the church has been at the forefront of a lot of Ukrainian causes. Like, before the U.S. government was even using Ukrainian spellings and transliterations for places in Ukraine, the church had been officially using Ukrainian spellings for places. I mean, that's why the temple in Ukraine is not the Kiev Ukraine temple. It's the Kyiv, the Ukrainian spelled K-Y-I-V Ukraine temple.
Znav, kto ya taka, koli ty pidnima v mene. You knew what I was when you picked me up.
So we're very upset about that. I'm mad about it. I think it's messed up, man.
No, it's
like pretty... like what are they doing? Like, are there missionaries in Tiraspol and Transnistria? Are they saying like, oh, that's not part of the Romanian mission anymore? That's going to be part of some Russian mission.
We're recognizing the rebels that have taken this. No,
what kind of a precedent are we setting?
Let's see if the church has a comment.
If this had been the U.S. Civil War,
you know what we should do, Jeff? You should work your back channels, but let's also send an email to the actual church spokesperson and say, hey, what the crap?
No, I intend to. I don't know if it'll be the spokesperson or the missionary department, but I'm going to fish around on this one because I'm going to say, what the crap?
Yeah, WTC.
All right, I feel good about this. Do you want to talk about sick missionaries? Hold it till next week. I don't care.
Yeah, we can talk about it real quick. So Slate writes a slanted article, pretty crummy article, saying that the missionaries are being deprived the medical treatment they so rightly deserve in some cases in dire circumstances. As we all know, the mission president and the mission president's wife are there and trying to take care of their missionaries. And there are a lot of missionaries that just whine. They're whiny guys.
They need
a consoling sort of.
That said,
voice.
There are many who have genuine health concerns.
And then
concerns.
There are many that have genuine
plenty,
health concerns.
And it's totally
and you
legit.
Hear about it all the time that they go to the hospital, they go get surgeries, they have doctors there. I went to the doctor many times during my mission. Went to the dentist, all kinds of things. And so it operates pretty well. But you're going to find a couple of cases where missionaries said they had something or they needed to go to a doctor, wasn't believed right away. You know, you sort of give it some time to work through and see if it gets worse, that sort of thing. And then it did get worse and they're going to be a little pouty about it. So there's a couple of instances that were reported on this. And then they wrote this whole big article talking about how Mormons on the missionaries are deprived this in very broad strokes.
Well, yeah, I mean,
pretty dumb.
And thankfully, Jana Reese came out pretty angry about this slant piece. And this is what the Slate piece says. It actually said in sort of a tease of the press release. In a stunning investigative story, Mark Joseph Stern unearths a horrifying and essentially unknown aspect of Mormon missionary culture. The LDS Church counsels strongly against active missionaries seeking medical help. And Mormon authority figures often go so far as to block access to health care and punish those who receive it. This has resulted in dozens of horror stories, as outlined in Mark's piece. Irreparable physical and mental health damage among many. And with 80,000 Mormon men and women currently serving on 418 different missions around the world, many of them in far-flung rural regions of developing countries.
Poppycock.
It means that a lot of people are currently in danger. So, the truth is, yes, people have problems. And yes, I also think in the developing world, you might not have the access to health care. And in many cases, a mission president might say, no, I don't want you to go to the hospital because these facilities are inadequate and we need to figure something else out. That's probably very common in much of the developing world. They don't want you to go to the dirty hospital.
Yeah.
In Burundi,
in Ukraine, we went to, there was an American doctor there to serve the embassy stuff, and that's who we used.
See, and that's what we like to do. And it's not like American exceptionalism, because if you're in Western Europe, that's fine too. I mean, I was in Spain, and we were fine to like...
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is this piece basically just has a handful of personal, just anecdotal interviews. The church didn't want to comment on the article. Jana Reese rightfully notes that the Salt Lake Tribune wrote a piece about this a couple of years ago, and the church also cooperated with it. The church provided stats on the percentage of missionaries who come home early because of sickness, whether mental or physical, and they were very cooperative. So Slate's basically going out of their way to try to make this sound like there's some massive conspiracy to punish those who feel that they are
dumb,
that they are not well, which is just plain silly. And I know people who have had difficulties on that front, like mission presidents who are uncooperative. I know it's real. I'm not taking that away, but I don't think this
widespread. The BLN, right? It's like, if you want to go to the doctor, there's nobody that's going to hold you in your apartment, and there's no punishment that's going to
come. No, but there's stories in the piece on Slate about how a mission president found out one of them went to the hospital and like yelled at him and said, you do that again, you're going home. You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, mission presidents are these crazy vindictive.
That's how I remember all of mine.
Is that how it was?
Just like that. You.
How dare you?
Anyway.
So I don't know. I think it's, you know, the media, people are going to publish what they're going to publish.
You heard it here first, people.
But bear in mind, it's not, everything is not what it seems.
So true.
So folks, thank you for joining us this week. Please join us on our social media channels, whatever they may be. We're all over the place. It'd be great if you hung out with us.
Email us, contact at thisweekinmormons.com, or visit us at thisweekinmormons.com, and leave comments on the stories or on the articles. Love to hear them.
Al?
Jeff?
Dinner?
Yeah.
Great.
See ya.
Everyone, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. The original Mormon news podcast. This Week in Mormons.
Oh, oh.
The original Mormon news podcast.